Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, we have always been sin. You, me, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, it doesn't matter. From our first breath to our last, our entire existence is polluted with sin. Our bodies and our flesh drive us to rebel against God and act selfishly. Always have, always will, at least this side of eternity. But when it comes to Jesus, we don't exactly think of him as embodying sin, like the existence we're used to for ourselves. And yet, this is exactly what our text today says. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. St. Paul tells the church in Corinth that Christ became sin for us. Now, we all know Jesus never sinned, and yet what he did do is take the place of us sinners. On the cross, God punished Jesus' flesh in the place of our flesh. It had to happen that way, because our flesh is where the Bible says our sin comes from. Our flesh, our bodies, are the parts of us that make us want to sin. St. Paul talks about this when he says, I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. He also says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now, whose flesh is weak here? Is it our flesh that's weak, or is it Jesus' flesh that's weak? Of course, it's ours. We couldn't do what the law says, even if we tried. We can't perfectly keep all 10 commandments all the time. And guess what? We do try. As Christians, we try and we fail. This is actually what we do all the time. If you pay attention to what you do, you'll notice you're really good at failing to be perfect. Our flesh makes it so that the 10 commandments can't save us. Because if we had to keep the commandments to be saved, we'd all go to hell on day one. So, when God condemned sin in the flesh, he didn't just condemn it in anyone's flesh. He condemned it and punished it in Jesus' flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh when Jesus stood or hung where our flesh should have been. Instead of everyone here being put to death like we deserve, Christ becomes our sin when he takes our place, and only he gets the punishment. Christ became our sin when he took our place so that only he bears the smiting. Did you pay attention to that sermon hymn we sang earlier? It actually puts this pretty well. Thou hast borne the smiting only, that my wounds might all be whole. Thou hast suffered, sad and lonely, rest to give my weary soul. Yea, the curse of God enduring, blessing unto me securing. Blessing unto me securing. So what blessing does Jesus secure for us? Well, St. Paul tells us, for our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, if we become the righteousness of God, that means we become perfectly holy and obtain good standing before God. This is the blessing that God gives us through Christ. When Jesus becomes sin for us, we stop being sin in the eyes of God. Because Jesus was crowned with thorns, we are crowned with glory. And our sermon hymn today again said as much. Heartless scoffers did surround thee, treating thee with shameful scorn, and with piercing thorns they crowned thee. All disgrace thou, Lord, hast borne, that as thine thou mightest own me, and with heavenly glory crown me. So this is all part of how God reconciles us to himself. Our text today says again that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting, or in some translations say, imputing their trespasses to them. So if you have to reconcile someone, that means they started out as enemies. That's exactly how God and the world are when the world is full of sin. The world hates God, so that makes the world God's enemy. But it's not just the world that hates God. You actually hate God too. I know you don't really think of it that way. After all, you know, you guys all have real lives, real problems, real lives, real problems, real weaknesses, and real sins that you commit over and over, day after day after day. And we don't always think about it, but the fact of the matter is that all that stuff makes God angry. And not even just the big stuff, it's the little things too. That time you prioritized watching your TV show instead of doing that favor for your husband or wife. That time you were short and angry with your friend or coworker, even though they were just trying to help. That time you couldn't just not snicker at that funny-looking kid who walked past you in the store. Or that time you just couldn't help yourself from complaining to your close friend about how that other friend of yours is just rubbing you the wrong way lately. Repent. What's more, the Bible says the reason that you sin at all is because you're born hating God, ever since you were a little baby. But that's not right, is it? Babies can't do all that stuff I just said. Gossip, slander, lie, murder, steal. Can they? Fair enough, but that doesn't mean they can't desire to sin, cute as they are. Remember what St. Paul said. I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. And again, even Jesus tells us that out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Last I checked, babies have a heart, and they've certainly got flesh too. The heart and the flesh are wicked enough to make even cute little babies chock full of sinful thoughts and desires. You, me, all of us here, there was a time when we were tiny and adorable, yet at the same time completely unable to think about anything other than ourselves. Our desires, all the time. You know how infants are actually some of the clearest examples of original sin that we have. Feed me. Change my diaper. Make me less uncomfortable. Put the temperature where I want it. All day, every day, we started off from our very beginnings in this world being God's enemies, who were only able to regard everything according to the flesh, which is the exact opposite of what Christians are supposed to act like. Paul even says so in our reading today. From now on, therefore, says Paul, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So repent. Repent of your flesh. Yeah, repent of your actions, but also repent of those desires that you just can't seem to shake. Even repent of those desires that are likely to stick around your whole life, that you might never be able to get rid of, no matter how hard you try. Repent of that selfish, evil enemy of God that dwells in your head, shoulders, knees and toes, eyes, ears, mouth and nose, all of it. It needs to pass away. It needs to die. So, because of all this sin that we have just sitting around in our flesh, when God reconciles us, his enemies, to himself, it's not because he just doesn't notice our sins. Yeah, it's totally true that God doesn't count or impute our trespasses against us. But those trespasses have to go somewhere. It's only because all our trespasses were imputed or counted to Jesus that God doesn't impute them to us anymore. It's like we never did anything bad. This is actually how God has always forgiven sinners. Even King David talks like this, you know, close to the year 1000 BC. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. So, if God doesn't impute our sins to us anymore, then he has nothing to be angry about. His anger is turned away. Today's Old Testament reading from Isaiah says, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. So, when Jesus became sin, Jesus became our salvation. God's anger left us and it was aimed at Christ instead. When Jesus breathed his last breath, he finished his job of becoming sin and taking God's anger on himself. Right then, our situation changed. Right then, when sin was dying on the cross, sin said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You hear certain hymns saying, he walks with me and he talks with me. And now Jesus is with us when he comes to meet us in Holy Communion. And he does talk to us when we read or listen to the Bible, since that's his word. But that's not exactly the picture these kinds of songs put in your head when you sing, he walks with me and he talks with me. What it really should say is, he walked for me and he talked for me. It should say what our sermon hymn said. Then for all that wrought my pardon, for thy sorrows deep and sore, for thine anguish in the garden, I will thank thee evermore. Thank thee for thy groaning, sighing, for thy bleeding, and thy dying. He walked for us, and he talked for us. He walked for us to the cross, and he talked for us to the Father. Thou hast suffered great affliction, and hast borne it patiently. Even death by crucifixion, fully to atone for me, thou didst choose to be tormented, that my doom should be prevented. So because Jesus became sin, what happens to our doom? Our doom is prevented. We are reconciled. Now, Jesus didn't become sin and die for us because we found a way to make things better. No, he died for us while we were still far off. The Bible actually says that when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. If we're without strength, it means we're not able to change our situation. If what we need is reconciliation, we can't do the reconciling. We can't help ourselves. After all, it's kind of hard to help yourself when you need to be saved from yourself. That's why God's word tells us, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And it says again, he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. Now, in Christ Jesus, you, who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property with reckless living. Then he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quickly, bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Jesus does all of this stuff for us to bring us to himself. Remember, in the parable, his father saw him, felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him while he was still a long way off. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. When we could not help ourselves, Jesus became sin for us. While we were still sinners, Jesus became sin for us. While we were far off, Jesus became sin for us. Jesus saw sinners, felt compassion, and ran to his bloody death so that he can embrace us here, whenever we have Holy Communion, in this bloody meal up here at our altar. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Christ, the sin of all the sinning, becomes Christ, the death of all the dying, so that he can finally be Christ, the life of all the living. Indeed, thousand thanks shall be, dearest Jesus, unto thee. Amen. Please rise as we now sing our canticle, hymn 941.